When we, as children of the Most High, consider His most reassuring trait, the most reassuring trait of our God, we must fall upon the fact that He rules all things. Everything. The Lord says, I kill and I make alive. Everything is under His rule. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Our only assurance in this point is this, that He is God. And because He is God, His word is true and it is sure. And His appointments are sure. I'd like you to turn to the book of Job. Job is the book just before the Psalms. It's been a while since we've looked at this book. I personally have not brought us to this book. I've referred to it in many ways. But the last time we actually read it together was with Pastor Gene when he was here. And this book goes right along with my subject this morning. My title for today's message is Ordained of God. Many of us right here in this very little room, many, maybe not all, but many are going through great trials right now. Going through trials that are taking their lives through great depths. Suffering the burdens of life. Age. Relationships, family, work, commute, whatever you want to list as a trial, there are some who are going through deep ones. I wish I could share with you how God's appointed trials for us bring good. That is my wish for this morning's message. Even when those trials are very painful to go through. I tell you this right now, that if you're a child of God, you will go through trials. You may not be this very moment. The Lord may be blessing you with a nice, smooth glassy sea to be on. But just as Peter, when he was walking on water, the winds came up around him. And who was it that controlled those winds? Absolutely. They were ordained of God, were they not? So could we not say that very trial where Peter began to sink, was that not a moment ordained of God? The Father chasteneth the child. Do we truly understand that? Can we truly understand the depth that our Lord will take us through, that we would turn from our own flesh, turn from the things of this world that we count on? To see that we have nothing to offer our Lord. And to turn to Him. You see, that's what the love is all about there. We won't come to our Lord willingly. Not willingly in our carnal flesh, but He makes us willing in the day of His power. Is that not a day that is ordained of God? The very day that he ordained John Reeves to hear his gospel the first time, the very day that he ordained you to hear the gospel the first time. I don't know about you folks, but I came on my knees crying. Not looking, but crying for what the Lord had me in at that time. Desperate, wanting to cry on my brother's shoulder, looking for the help of him. And yet the Lord didn't show me my brother at all. It was the ordained time for John to hear the truth of the gospel. Just as it was the ordained time for each and every one of you to hear the truth of the gospel, for it to apply to your hearts. We're not the only ones going through these things, folks. Many, many in the world around us are going through even greater trials than we've ever experienced. I've never experienced the loss of a child. And I thank my Lord for that. I do pray that I never have to experience that. But I've seen my brother go through that. And I've watched him and his wife lean on what the Lord has promised them. Those very words I just quoted to you a moment ago, that we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Lee and Shirley, I can't express, leaned on that. Lee will tell you himself that was what got him through those moments after his son was taken. Pastor Gene and Judy will tell you the same. You know that Pastor Gene lost his oldest son in his very arms. In the book of Job, we read about a man from the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and his 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke and oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He had everything of this world that he wanted. God had blessed him with all these things. Could you say he was kind of running along on glassy seas? Things were going good. Everything was happening just right. And his sons went and feasted in their house, verse 4, and everyone his day, and they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so in the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, that all that he hath is in thy power. I want that to sink in. Our Creator just took one of his children, one that he went to the cross and died for, and is allowing Satan to buffet him. trials that we must go through in life are ordained of God. And they have a great purpose. A purpose for us to put away the strength of the flesh, to see it for its weakness that it is, and to look to God, our mighty Savior. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder's brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, the messenger, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants in the edge of the sword, with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, over and over and over, another wave of the sea is coming upon Job. Do you not think he was not human, that he didn't feel the pain of how things were all of a sudden, that smooth glass was turned into a sea, boiling. The waves just coming, one right after the other, after the other, after the other. While he was yet speaking, verse 18, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You think Job wasn't a man of the flesh? Verse 20, then Job arose and he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I return thither, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And again, there was a day, verse 1 of chapter 2, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along also among them and to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, from the very bottom of his feet. He couldn't even walk for the boils. I'm sharing this with you folks because we have a lot of problems in our lives. We deal with a lot of trials, all kinds of trials. But look at the trial our Lord laid upon this man. He's lost everything. And now he's covered with sores from head to foot, and he took a postcard to scrape himself with all, and he sat down among the ashes. But here, that's not even the worst part of it. Here comes the next one. The one that he loved. This woman, it was given to him by the father. But he said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now turn over to the New Testament book of Romans, if you would, chapter 8. An article in a previous bulletin written by Thomas Guntree goes as this: How great is our God, whose hand paints every flower and shapes every leaf, who forms every bud on every tree and every infant in the womb, who feeds each crawling worm with a parent's care and every insect that sleeps in the bosom of a flower, who opens the golden gates of day and he draws the dusky curtains at night, who measures every drop of rain or the whirling flakes of snow in the sands of man's earthly life, who determines alike the fall of a sparrow and the fate of the kingdom, who so overrules the tide of human fortune that whatever befalls a man can come joy or sorrow, the believer readily declares this: It is of the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. You don't need to turn there. But in the 22nd Psalm, a man after God's own heart says this. A man who has been blessed of God in ways that you and I can't even imagine. Well, I don't know, maybe you can't imagine being made a king of a nation. Maybe you can. This very one wrote, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. A man after God's own heart. As we can see, is distraught with the trials that are in his life. Just as you and I are. In the 18th verse of chapter 8 we read, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was not made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subject in the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into a glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We're not alone in the trials that we go through in life. Many suffer the very same things, but don't have the hope that God gives his people. Oh, what a hope we have. Yeah, we're going through a serious trial. Yeah, Lord, do you hear me? But we know. We know that he's still there. Otherwise, why would we cry out, Lord, do you hear me? Verse 23, And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Polly Mary said to me this very morning, this is not our home. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. For we are saved by hope, verse 24. But hope that is not seen is not hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So let's take a moment and consider what the Lord's instructions here are. And may our great Savior be pleased to comfort us in our time of need. The 17th verse we read, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. There are three ideas that are conveyed in that very verse. First, Christ and his people are one. Therefore, he suffered and died. We were in him. We partook of the efficacy of the blessing of his sacrifice. Secondly, because of this oneness with him, there will be sufferings for us to bear in this world. We bear them for his sake and for the gospel's. Third, being still frail flesh and subject to all the infirmities and afflictions and diseases of the body, and even eventually death, we shall have to suffer trials on this earth. Great trials bring great faith. In our Bible studies, we've recently looked at a woman from Tyre whose daughter was vexed with the devil. She had a great faith that the Lord could save her daughter. And she went to him and begged, Lord, save my girl, save my daughter. But she was a Gentile, and the Lord said, my blessings are not for the Gentiles, are they? She says, yea, but Lord, even a dog has the crumbs of the table. He said, great is thy faith, go, and your daughter is healed. What great faith she had to go through, but what great trial that she had to go through next. You see what I'm talking about? The ordained things of God, how the trials that come across our way are there for a reason. If she had never had that sick daughter, if she had never had that trial, would she have come to the Lord? If you had never had the trials that you have had in your life, would you have come to the Lord? If John had not been going through the very trial that he was going at that time, would he have come here and heard the word of God preached? No. Great trials bring great faith. No, I know, folks, I know. I know that suffering and trials are not easy. If trials were without pain and discomfort, they would not accomplish the purpose for which they are sent. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when they fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. As we see in verse 18, we look at all of the earth's sorrows, sufferings, and trials in the light of eternal glory, when we shall be like him and enjoy his presence and partake in his perfect kingdom. We look on these present inconveniences as nothing. They are not worthy to be compared to what the Lord has in store for us. In 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, we read, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, Right now, we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The trials that we go through are very painful indeed. But they are preordained. They are appointed for us just as our salvation is also preordained, appointed. These things that we must go through, they teach us our need of Christ, our need to trust Him. We are brought to know that we can do nothing of our own salvation. Anything that we have cannot be mixed with our, that salvation cannot be mixed with works. Well, you say, yeah, John, I know this. So why am I still going through trials? Why is the Lord allowing me to go through this other trial? Does it not seem to a child of God that once we've gotten out of one trial, we're going right into another one? Why, Lord? Why? I know that you're sovereign ruler over everything. I know that I love you because you first loved me. Why am I still having to go through a trial? Who are we to question the creator of all things? Who are we to question the potter? He says, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. That's good enough for me. I may not feel it at that time, the time of trial. And I may be like David, where art thou, God? How come you don't hear me? But I know in my heart what my Lord has told me. And I know in my heart that what He has told me is true and cannot be taken away. We are brought to know that we can do nothing of our own. You might say, Lord, I know already. Please take these thorns away from me. Please take this trial away from my life. I cannot take it anymore. My grace is sufficient. He says to us, when we are at our weakest, His strength is made perfect. This is how we are taught to see our salvation. We must see the fall, the curse, before we can see the grace. In Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The whole world is enduring these very same trials as we, yet they have no hope. All are subject to the curse of the flesh, yet our souls hope in the Lord. This is our comfort. And that's what our trials bring us to. They bring us to the point that we see, just as that woman saw about her daughter, there was nothing she could do. There's nothing you and I can do. Trust in Him alone. Turn to Him alone. Have no confidence in your flesh. It's just flesh. It's going to go back to the dust where it belongs, right where it came from. This hope is what we call faith. Faith is to believe. Our faith is what the Lord tells us in His Word. He says all things. Do you believe? If you believe, it's because you have faith in the Word as being true. If you believe that all things are for your good, it's because God has given you that gift of faith. He's given you belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of His people. If you have that faith and you believe that He is God in the flesh, and that all He did was perfect and holy in every way. Not a single thing went left undone. He said, it is finished. The work that He came here to this world to do, to save His people. If you've been given the gift of faith and you believe that He has fulfilled the law perfectly in your stead, you must fulfill the law. Well, I can't do it in the flesh, but I have a substitute. He's done it for me, and He went to the cross for me too. If you have faith, God-given faith, you believe that your sins were put away and that you stand as righteous as Him who is righteous above all things. That His righteousness is yours. This is where our hope is. It's not in these things of the flesh. It's not in these troubles. It's not in the wonders and the good things that we have. It's in Him. How else can we turn from these waves that are covering us? I think to myself at times, what keeps me from wanting to do as others and commit suicide? In the craziness of the world, I don't understand how I wouldn't feel those things. But knowing who my Lord is, I can handle all of that crazy stuff going on. I can handle those waves that are going over me. If you have faith, then you believe that His blood that was shed on that cross covered all of your sin. If you have faith, then you believe that He took our sins into the grave and He put them away, never to be seen of God again. If you have God-given faith, then you believe that He arose from that death. Victor over the enemies of God, victor over death, champion to His chosen people, to His elect, to all of those for whom the Father hath given Him. We believe that He sits on His throne right now, making intercession for us, working it all out according to His will. One more thing I want to bring before you this morning before we close. Consider the trials of Abraham, shall we? Our loved ones may fall to the plagues of this world, but consider Abraham for just a moment. Abraham was commanded to give his son. Can you imagine that? Do you have children? Could you imagine God telling you, sacrifice your son. Take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him. I can't imagine what it was like for my brother to have his son taken from him, let alone doing that. Think of that as a trial. How many trials do you think Abraham had to go through to learn that God does not lie? You see, Abraham knew that his son, through his son, the seed of all of God's people would come. The Savior would come through that young man. God made that very clear to Abraham, and Abraham never forgot it. But that was not the only trial that Abraham had to go through, is it? Wasn't there a group of his family that was kidnapped and taken off? And Abraham had to gather his men together and go after them and save them, and he did by God's will, by God's ordained power. Trials are ordained by our God to teach us these very things. How many trials did Abraham endure to learn what God has said shall be? How many trials, Lord? How many trials must we go through to learn that very thing? Lord, I believe. Help thy mine unbelief. Have you ever said that? You ever thought about what happens when you say that? What a better way to help my unbelief than to give me another trial. Trials are appointed for our good, even when we can't see the good in them. Look at chapter 4 of this book of Romans. Beginning at verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. who against hope believed in the hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall I say be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Our Lord has given all Scripture for our learning. Are you going through a trial? Is something, are waves coming over your head? Is your soul weary from the curse of this world? Look at verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Folks, there are many trials that I cannot relate to. I spoke of one with my brother Lee. For God has not appointed them all to me yet. But his word, by his word, he tells us to count them as good. And I can assure you on the authority of God, if Christ died for you, the day will come when you will see the good of your trial. And you will praise him for his goodness. Look at verses 10 and 11 of chapter 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. In the 8th chapter, verse 29, we read, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all? May God help you. May God keep you as you go through whatever trial that he has ordained for you to go through, that you might turn away from your flesh and turn to him. Amen. Would you